The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. We're open line on Man in Line today. Call 66 13 68. Whatever it is you'd like to talk about, then you're on. Lots of messages we didn't get to yesterday, and lots of talk about the possibility of the amount it's going to cost to get net zero, how much we're going to get from the wind farm that Ørsted say will raise $2 billion over 35 years, and exactly what it is that we're going to get out of it. Billy B said, what programme was Jim Fenton? I think it was BBC Two last night. If it was BBC, it'll be on the iPlayer. And a note in from 713, Paul Quine's idea surely is a simple solution. Paul Quine, former MHK, who says what we should do is have a referendum. We're going to have an election next year anyway, so we've got the cost, we've got the returning officers, we've got all the people will have rented all the polling stations, so surely the thing to do is have a referendum. Now, it may be that the vast majority of the population actually agrees with our net zero aims, and, well, OK, that'll be a ratification of it. But I got a note in from Thelma, who just said, Andy, I get the impression that we're basically hampering ourselves. We're disadvantaging ourselves just to prove something to the world, when large parts of the world don't seem to want to disadvantage themselves. So why should we disadvantage ourselves just to prove something? And in the meantime, she said, by the way, I'm for wind. But if all that happens is we get far more expensive electricity, then really, what have we proved? As I mentioned, Paul Quine, the former MHK, he was Douglas South MHK. And Paul Quine said that we should have a referendum. We should basically have a referendum to say that, does the population agree with the government? With their, and remember, this is all official, completely official, that the government's net zero aim has been in statute. It's been there for years and years and years. So some people are saying arguing about it is absolutely pointless because it's going to happen anyway. But anyway, I just wonder what your thoughts are. So what Paul Quine, former MHK, had to say.
Well, I think it's one of the most costly issues of our time. I mean, even a Conservative value would put it at around about £100 million for something which, in fairness, is something that's going to fall hardest and most brutal on those who are least able to afford it. I mean, if we look at the current tariffs on electricity, they're high, and people are, struggling with their everyday commodities. Cost of living, etc. So I think the island sort of looking for basically a blank check for at least £100 million from the taxpayer. I think it's something that the Manx people need to be asked if they're willing to sign up for.
One of government's headline targets at the minute is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 35% by 2030. Now, 2026 will be close to that target, of course, just 4 years away. Is it an apt time to be re-looking at this? Or, will people say, well, we've made it this far, there's no real point in holding a referendum?
No, I think we need to put the brakes on this, to be honest, Lewis. I think this current administration has driven us up to the cliff edge. And I think the next administration certainly has the ability to drive us over the cliff edge. I mean, what we're talking about is something you know, the UK generates less than 1% of the world's CO2 emissions. The Isle of Man generates an amount that can't even be measured. So what effectively we've been asked to do is commit over £100 million to reduce something that is so small in the first place that you can't even quantify it.
Was this a big issue when you stood?
It wasn't a big issue. I don't think it was something that was at the forefront of most people's minds. But as the duration of this parliament has gone on, then I think it's something that certainly has now come back into the public consciousness.
Paul Quine, former MHK, and I just wonder what your thoughts are. As I say, this has been affirmed. I mean, Tynwald has said that. I mean, this happened ages and ages ago. So for many people, this is just completely old news. Completely old news. Paul Quine thinks we're up to a cliff edge. Lots of people think we're on the starting ramp for net zero, and they think it's going to be good for us. I just wonder where you stand. Could be that you're completely sick and tired of the debate and somebody just better do something. But there is an election next year, so the fabric of the election process will be in place. How much extra it would cost to bolt on a referendum, we don't quite know. At the moment, the government hasn't really made any comment apart from saying that, well, no. I got a message in also regarding the MGP and TT as well, just regarding the programmes and the availability of the programmes. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding the availability of MGP programmes. Are they? Oh, and also TT. Barely anybody votes on the Isle of Man, says Joe. So what are the numbers for voter turnout for a population of over 80,000? So adding a referendum, I think, will be a futile attempt by the fossil fuel cheerleaders, says 963 Joe. And also, oh, you mentioned the MGP and the Classic TT. No Classic TT programmes, and according to the spa shops, G. Whites know nothing about them. So you wonder if the Department of Economic Development are trying to muck things up and get rid of the MGP altogether. Are there programmes around? Well, if you've seen one, please tell us, and we'll know when we can actually buy one and where you can see them. Tony on 538, we need to have guaranteed cheaper energy bills before we sell ourselves down the river. And after hearing the annual warnings about grass fires, 068 says, isn't it time just to ban disposable barbecues? They're a terrible fire risk, and even without dry weather, they're capable and cause of littering by irresponsible users of them. Basically, there's something that really shouldn't have been invented. Portable barbecues, do you use them? Oh, Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Hearing Paul Quine's protestations about renewables and targets within which are actually set down in law, which he perhaps ought to know about, having been in the internal time. Well, referendum, there's a great big argument why you shouldn't have a referendum. It's called Brexit, which is an absolute disaster, and a referendum manipulated by those people who wanted to see UK depart from Europe for their own various ideological reasons and relying on a low turnout, therefore, to be able to get that passed. And indeed, it wasn't even legally binding. It was an advisory referendum. It was just that the elements of the Conservative Party, the anti-European elements of the Conservative Party at the time, were in the ascendant, and Cameron found himself in no other position but to sort of resign and say, "Yes, we'll do it."
Yeah. But I mean,
there are a lot of I think misconceptions about referendum.
Well, they had Britain had them in the 1970s, didn't they, to confirm common market membership?
Well, yes, they had one. Well, they had one referendum to Agnew confirmed that. That was a Labour Party commitment in their manifesto.
Well, the Labour Party was against the common market. A lot of the left-wingers were.
So it was a commitment in their manifesto, I'd say. There's no commitment by any elected member at the moment in Tingles to have to want a referendum on this subject. And the thing is, of course, there's an election in September. There's no need for a bolt-on referendum on that, with all the confusions and such that may cause. What you do is, you know, simply require candidates. You know, the electorate will do that. Where in your manifesto says your views on the continuation of net zero type policies? We want to know where you stand on that. That question is obviously going to be one of those questions that's continually asked of every candidate in the forthcoming election. So that's where it's going to be dealt with. There's no need for a referendum. But this is, of course, crime. Throwing out some red meat for a possible run himself, you know, to try and get back in Douglas South. It's just coattailing on populism, and it's not really very well thought out at all.
But I mean, surely there's nothing wrong with populism, is there? I mean, that's what democracy is all about, vox populi.
Yes, the wisdom of crowds very often turns into the wisdom of mobs. The vox populi of Germany voted for Hitler twice. The vox populi of the United States have voted for Trump twice. Yes. Not always the absolute thing. And when we talk about vox populi and going back to the Greek ideas of democracy, their idea of the popular vote was within an aristocracy of men.
Sure.
Which made up about 5% of the population. So, you know, this idea of universal suffrage and stuff, you know, that's entirely different from those ideas. So you can't go around mapping those ideas one onto the other.
Okay. So you think the referendum, waste of time, waste of money?
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
And it takes the idea of our democratic system into completely the wrong direction, because once you start doing that, that's a slippery slope on which everything will be called for a referendum. Which again, because one of the things that government sometimes has to do is do things that may be at that time against the majority or popular opinion, but which are actually the right thing to do. I'm sure if you wanted to have a referendum on capital punishment on the Isle of Man, you'd probably get a majority saying, yes, we want capital punishment on the Isle of Man. But, who'd be the person pulling the lever?
But, of course, there is a movement nowadays to get lots of voting online and almost to have everything for an ongoing plebiscite almost. You know, some people advocate decisions being made online and voters voting all the time online for policy as it goes along.
Yes, you have a very low turnout of the usual suspects who'd be then able to push through all sorts of disadvantageous ideas through. No, I mean, people would soon go, oh gosh, I can vote like an MHA on something. After they've, are they willing to also do all the reading, etc., and such consideration before you vote?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Are they going to spend 40 hours a week in their spare time, being active voters? I think not.
It was a Guardian class of philosopher kings, wasn't it, Bonzo?
Oh no, the Guardian would be far too broad a church for them.
All right. Okay.
The Tatler, maybe.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Bonzo.
Yep. Bye.
12:21, and I think June's got some news for us. I think June's got some information about what we can actually do. Hi, June. You know about the classic TT programmes? Is that right?
Hello.
Hi, June.
Hello.
You're live on the air, June.
Stop.
Hello, June.
Hello.
June, you're live on the air.
Yes, but I can't hear you.
Oh, dear me. Oh, dear me. In that case, we'll go to Julian. Hi, Julian. Can you hear me, Julian?
Yeah, perfect. Crystal clear, dulcet tones, Andy.
Jolly good. We'll try and call June back. Anyway, what's on your mind, Julian?
Just talking about referendums and stuff. Perhaps we should switch to the Swiss model of direct democracy. It seems to be doing them all right. They're in the top five GDP countries in the world, and there's only 8 million of them.
How does that
which
work?
Which is what? Well, basically, the government has to do what the majority of the people want via kind of like a direct referenda. So nobody ever said Switzerland wasn't doing all right.
And that happens all the time, does it?
Yeah, they have a completely different different way of doing stuff. So, and you know, all you got to do is walk down the streets of Zurich or Geneva and you can kind of see the difference. By the way, just quickly, before I talk about Orsted, the fires, I heard the fire brigade out yesterday.
Yeah.
It reminded me of what's going on in Nova Scotia in Canada at the moment, where the governor, Arthur LeBlanc, has done a stay out of the woods. Basically, they're stopping everyone from going out. It would be the equivalent of, on the Isle of Man, of stopping every single person from going anywhere where there's trees or a forest or even a footpath.
Yeah.
And it's being equated to a climate lockdown because it doesn't make any sense because they're stopping people going fishing and cycling and hiking.
A lot of trees in Canada, though, aren't there?
Well, yeah, but they're not doing it in Labrador. They're just saying if anyone's caught setting a fire, they'll be up for it. But they're fining anyone caught, even walking in their bikini, $25,000 Canadian plus a $3,000 victim fee. Interesting to look on YouTube for a guy called Jeff, J-E-F-F, Evely, E-V-E-L-Y, because he's deliberately went to the government, said, I'm going in the forest, and then they fined him $28,000, and he's going to take them to court on the fact that they're doing this illegally. So it'll be interesting to see how that one goes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was listening. Yes, anyway. I was listening to Jamie Baldwin of Orsted, the project director for Morvanin. And I noticed, based on what Mark said yesterday, a similar-sized seabed like the ENBW offshore wind farm company off Morecambe Bay, they're required to pay $231 million every year since subsequent to signing their seabed agreement. So basically, every megawatt of what they say they want to generate is £154,000. Per year, each megawatt. So Morvanin in their brochure says 1,400. So that's £215 million a year they should be paying us.
Yeah.
But also, what comes to mind is Orsted signed a lease for the seabed 10 years ago. So where's our $2.15 billion for the last 10 years?
I don't think it works like that.
Right, so in other words, it's down to the contract that was signed 10 years ago.
Right.
I suppose. But, you know, any other... I mean, Orsted's been paying other for other wind farms for years to the Crown Estate in the hundreds of millions.
But surely, Julian, the government will know this, won't they? The government will know what Orsted's record is. They'll have researched what they're paying in other jurisdictions. I mean, the only difference in this is because they may be landing the electricity in the UK and maybe going for a contract for difference in the UK, but this is happening in another jurisdiction's waters. That may be the only complicating matter. Surely the government knows all this.
But you know, it's on the face of it, we're going to get a quarter of what Orsted would be paying just over the line out of our territorial waters for the same size. So, you know, it is what it is. It's 57 million instead of 215 million. And you know, you mentioned before about contracts for difference, and we hear a lot about the fact that wind farms are cheaper energy, but they receive huge subsidies. like contracts are different, curtailment fees, paying them to switch off. And all the vast expense of upgrading the UK electrical network isn't paid for by them. So who's paying for all the subsidies to prop up the wind the wind energy business?
Oh, I think
it's
we know.
The people, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. In the end, we pay for everything. The taxpayer will always get the bill.
Yeah, and now Jamie Baldwin was saying, what's the alternative? We need energy. We need electricity. Well, if you look at it this way, for 100 million, which is a quarter of what Manx Care costs a year, and it would be a one-off, we could just completely renew, put new gas turbines in and a new steam generator to get that free 23 megawatts that we get from the chimney heat in the recycling of the energy. 100 million, and we're done for 35 years of 24/7 energy. Because what Jamie Baldwin's not addressing is, where's the backup when there's no wind? I mean, how many times have you been across on the boat and Walney Wind Farm? They're not turning. So what are you going to do? And if we're going to have it from their interconnector, we're already paying twice as much down the interconnector as we are to make it at Pullrose.
But Julian, the government, our government, through Timwald, has committed to reach net zero by 2050, and this is part of it.
Well, it's not very sensible, then, is it? Especially when you look at China, that's pouring out more now than anywhere else in the world. And what is it? We're going to, in a year, we're putting out 0.0011% of all emissions. I mean, you know, there's no heavy industry over here. I haven't noticed any aluminium smelting plants like the one in Anglesey that closed some time ago that was taking three times what the Isle of Man uses just in one aluminium smelting plant. So that's probably why all the industry's fading in the UK now, because it's all being offshored to China, who doesn't really care about their emissions, it seems. If you see pictures of Guangzhou with the smog so thick you can barely see across the road.
Okay. All right, Julian, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Sandy, cheers.
All right, 28 minutes past. I think June's back. Hi, June, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yes, Andy.
Jolly good. Okay. Now, the classic TT programme.
Right, the story. We bought a Manx Grand Prix programme, and there was nothing to do with the classic TT in it.
Yeah.
So we rang up a few different people, including Sarah Maltby. She doesn't know why the classic TT programme is not available in the outlet. Anyway, in today's programme, today's paper, it says that the classic TT is available on the boats coming over,
right,
or at the grandstand. So we've been up to the grandstand. Bear in mind that a lot of it is cordoned off now for all the facilities. And lo and behold, it's not available up there. It's at the Joey Dunlop tent, but that's not open until Saturday. So they said, oh, it's down at the Welcome Centre. Now, I've just been down the Welcome Centre. That's where I lost your signal.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they don't have it. It's supposedly at the office at the grandstand. So the only ones that they've got down there are for the marshals.
Right.
So we've been running round and running round, and lo and behold, we still haven't got a classic TT programme.
Right, so they're not available at the Welcome Centre?
No. The only ones that are there are the Manx Grand Prix.
Right.
And the thing is, if you don't know about your races, you buy a Manx Grand Prix programme, there's nothing in there about classic TT.
Right. And did the Welcome Centre say they were going to be stocking them? They just haven't got them in yet?
No, they didn't. They said that they're not here. They'll be up at the grandstand. I think it was the booking office.
Right.
But, you know, there's nowhere up there. The only thing that I went into up there was the TT Marshall's place. I'm assuming it's a signing on marquee, and they've got them there, but only after you've signed on as a marshal.
Well, this doesn't seem very straightforward, June.
it's not straightforward at all, and it's all to do with the way that the government is handling it, because it, the government seem to be running this side of it, the Classic TT.
Right.
They don't run the Manx Grand Prix, and the communication, Andy, is unbelievable. Because when you go down for a, you know, and ask for a Classic TT, but they say, "Oh yeah, it is." I said, "No, that's the Manx Grand Prix one." So even Sarah Maltby, she was very good. She rang us back and she said she's no idea, you know, what's going on, but she did say she would try and find out. But it's like a closed shop, this is.
All right.
Well, you know, it's ridiculous.
June, we'll try and find out, June. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, all right.
Thanks
bye
for
bye.
That. I want to go to Brian now with us. If you can tell us, by the way, where the Classic TT programme is being sold. We'd love to know. Well, everybody would like to know, really. Here's Brian now. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Andy. I'm just wanting to speak about the referendum and why people are against it.
Right.
Your first caller, Bonzo, actually sounds like a disaffected, bitter Ramona who can't get over a Democratic vote that went against his wishes. Is he frightened, and are people in the government frightened, that the silent majority might stand up and vote against their, you know, their plans to put to get us to net zero? I think you find in the UK, we have all these noisy groups that go around. Quite often their rent a mob will attend any protest that's going. But there's a massive, what you'd call a silent majority, who just sit by, don't say nothing, until they get the chance to say something, as was shown with Brexit. So why couldn't we do that? Or is there a fear factor involved in it?
Well, I suppose, I mean, it's obvious, Brian, that the, if you like, the government, the bureaucracy is invested in this net zero programme, you know, taking the action against the climate emergency, they said, when it was all announced, and the fact that, you know, what the benefits are, what we've got to do to get climate positive and all this sort of stuff, electric vehicles, public transport, 20-minute cities, active travel and what have you. So they've spent an awful long time getting involved in this and getting all the bureaucracy. I'm guessing that they're not minded to change their mind.
Well, no, because a lot of the MHKs are leaning towards that way. That's their natural slant anyway. And like Julian said before, and he's quite right, what we produce, we're virtually net zero anyway. For us to spend this money trying to get it down just that infinitesimal amount,
yeah,
it's just chucking money away, in my opinion.
Well, the fact is that there's a risk in anything that you do, and this is a new technology. This is a new industrial revolution, Brian. And the fact is that, as you say, the government will be using taxpayers' money. That's the only money that they've got. They will be using it's whether or not we trust the government to get this right.
What, like we trusted them to get the landing stage in Peel and the IRIS scheme and many other schemes on the island? Our governments have got track records of total failure in lots of capital projects. I certainly wouldn't trust them with this, and I actually don't think it's necessary. And as Julian and Mark said the other day, why do we have to be at the forefront of it? We're virtually zero anyway. Why don't we just hang back a bit and hold on to our money? That money could be spent in the, you know, the health services, education, could be put to far more useful uses than throwing it into this net zero, which could well end up being impossible to ever reach.
Interesting. It's funny, you know, Brian, I got a note in from, Celia. Celia just said, Andy, why doesn't the government just commit to planting 2 million trees? That would soak up a lot of carbon dioxide. Surely we should do it from the other way round.
Well, yeah, it's hard to say on that. 2 million trees is a big area and probably not as practical as just holding our horses for the while.
Mm.
You know, we're not exactly polluting the earth, the Isle of Man at the moment. Neither is the UK, to be honest. In general, we've got a lot of leeway, and we should use it until we can see what tried and trusted methods come along to help us in, you know, with clean energy and renewable energy.
Yeah. I think, nobody is against new technology. New technology is fantastic. It's proved all sorts of things for us. It's done us well. However, this mm-hmm. this is a leap, and I'm guessing it's a leap you don't think we should take.
Not at this moment, I don't think so. You know, I'm not against new technology. I mean, we had new technology many years ago in the form of nuclear, and we never really followed it up. There's hydrogen on its way. There's a few things in the pipeline at the moment, and before we jump the gun and commit millions, hundreds of millions, which will eventually saddle our kids and our grandkids with future debts which will have to be serviced, yeah. We should just wait and just see for a little bit.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for calling today.
No problem.
Cheers, Nat.
You're welcome.
23 minutes before one. Oh, by the way, we've checked, Ben's checked the Isle of Man official TT Facebook. The classic TT race guide on sale this week at the authentic 20-page race guides packed with full entry details and features. Available from today for £2 on the onboard on the steam packet sailings, the grandstand box office, official merchandise store inside the Mercury Club, alongside the Joey Dunlop pop-up exhibit and cinema. Is the Mercury Club, is that the one you have to pay to get into? And if you're heading to the Manx Grand Prix, the official programme is £5.95 from outlets across the Isle of Man. Phil dropped me a note and just said, regarding the classic TT programme, it's only available from two places on the Isle of Man and the steam packet ships. No foresight or consideration given to fans and the public who may be interested in the event to have to travel to Douglas, and a place where parking, if available, is timed and restricted. If you have mobility problems, the thought of having to go to the grandstand is off-putting, no matter how enthusiastic you may be. Well, the Manx Motorcycle Club, who promote the MGP, put their excellent MGP programme in the Welcome Centre, as well as Tesco and various news outlets and other shops around the Isle of Man. Why doesn't the Motorsport Division at least make the classic TT booklet available at the Welcome Centre, or other outlets willing to stock the product? It's part of the package of the DFE. I'm lost for words. Well, at least the ones you can broadcast anyway. Thank you, Phil. Good to hear from you. Let's get back to the lines in just a few moments' time.
We interrupt this broadcast to inform all our listeners about the huge range of bathrooms and showers on display at Pacesetter. Yes, you all know that Pacesetter is known as the island's largest tile store, but I'm here to tell you that their bathroom displays are truly inspirational. Visit Pacesetter on Harris Terrace, where you'll discover a fabulous collection of stylish bathrooms. There's something to suit everyone, with design available. Pacesetter bathrooms and showers to show off about.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look, and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out, and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Through and through, great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
Calling all treasure hunters.
This summer, Silverdale Cafe Balasella is hosting a super summer treasure trail. Get your treasure trail form and complete the hunt to be in with a chance of winning one of three fantastic weekly prizes throughout the summer holidays. Prizes will include a delicious meal for four at Silverdale Cafe, as well as one and two night stays for up to four people at the amazing Trail Lodge. Silverdale Cafe's Treasure Trail. Don't miss it.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Release the need to do everything well. You were great today. You did enough.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Let's relax further and imagine a long stroll on a sandy, starlit beach.
Peaceful slumber and relaxation.
It's a balmy August night, and you are walking barefoot along the water's edge.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Sue is with us now. Let's get to Sue on the line. Let me find Sue here. Oh, hello, Sue, are you there?
I am, yeah.
Very good.
I recently met a young lady who has come over to the island. She's got family over here anyhow. She's from Ireland. And she came over for the Manx language school that was running. She's over here for a few weeks, and I got talking to her, and she's over here for a few weeks basically because there aren't many ferries from the Isle of Man to Ireland and vice versa. And I was talking to her last night, and she's going back on the 16th, and I had a look at the steam packet website to see when the ferries were, and there were something like the 16th, the 20th and the 27th. And then after that, there's nothing until Christmas. And I just thought to myself, this is silly.
Nothing till Christmas?
Yeah, or nothing until December. I think it might be the 1st of December. And I just thought, we've got enough boats now. We've still got the Ben McCree. We've got the new one. You know, I mean, surely they could run more ferries. And she was saying the same, that previously family members of hers that live over here have died, and friends of hers that live in Ireland wanted to come over, but they couldn't get something like a 3-day turnaround to get over here to attend funerals to get back again. And it sounds like, I didn't probe her deeply about it, but it sounds like she doesn't want to fly for whatever reason. And the ferry is then really her only mode of transport to come and see her family. And it just seemed to me that not only for people in her situation who want to come over to see family on a regular basis, but also for the tourism industry. And you think how many tourists would want to come over here, especially with the road racing fraternity,
yeah,
of people who would come over here because of the Dunlops, especially. You know, I mean, the Dunlops are born and bred Irish people, and they come over here, they race, they win the TTs, they win the Southern 100, they do an awful lot for this island. So you would think that tourists would want to come over here. So surely there is a huge lack of tourism industry, yeah, here because of the lack of ferries that go to and from Ireland.
Have you, and we were talking about Belfast here, have you been to the ferry terminal in Belfast at all?
I haven't. I've only been to Dublin,
right,
once, and that was, about 25 years ago.
Right. Well, let me tell you, the Belfast ferry terminal is, the terminal is a good name for it, to be quite honest. It's not what you call luxurious, not in the slightest.
No.
So, and the fact is, if we're talking about tourism, we've got to make it easy and attractive, yeah, for people to come here. And the fact is, if you're not making it easy, most people have got tons of choice where they go on their holiday. And if you're not making it easy, you're never going to grow a market.
Exactly. And I was looking at flights as well, you know, about where the flights go from Dublin and Belfast. And there don't seem to be any, I mean, I was only having a very quick look, but there don't seem to be very many straightforward, straight to the island flights. It just seems that you either have to go from Ireland to one of the cities in the UK and, yeah, then pick up a connecting flight from there to here. Well, to me, again, that's just, it is cutting off the tourism industry. People don't want to be messing about doing connecting flights and things. They want to be able, I mean, if you think about it, Ireland is only the same distance away from us as the UK is.
Yeah.
So what's the change? And we were also saying last night that there is a heavy reliance in this island to the UK. We are next to Ireland as well. We're slap bang in the middle of everything. So why haven't we got that affiliation? Why haven't we got that relationship of a recognition to Ireland, whether it be Southern Ireland or Northern Ireland?
So what do we do?
You know,
what do we do, Sue, then?
I think we need to start with the steam packet, don't we? As we own it, I think we need to start with the steam packet and say, look, there are, you know, 3 months between August and December where there doesn't seem to be anything on their schedule of sailings that takes people from and to Ireland and to the Isle of Man. So I think we need to start saying, well, let's have a look into this and see if there is a market there. And surely that would help the hotels. It would help, especially if they can do them like they do the offers here for the 5-day sailings, don't they? So you can have a cheaper sailing if you do it in 5 days.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they took on things like that, then that could improve the tourism industry here. And I just think it just seemed really daft to me that there was nothing.
Yeah, you think we're missing a trick then?
Oh, I think they're missing a huge trick, because you consider how big Ireland is. And if they have two ports, two ferry ports, two sea terminals, one in Dublin, one in Belfast, if they can sail ferries from either or both of those on a regular basis to this island, then there's all your tourists.
Okay.
There's your money. There's your revenue. There's your profit and everything.
All right.
There's your hotels
it.
and your yeah.
Okay. Appreciate it, Sue. Thanks for calling today. And certainly, there's a lot of history where the Republic and Northern Ireland is concerned with the Isle of Man. Don't know whether you've been listening to Dave Moore's program called The Comeovers, about the people who came to work in the Isle of Man, and lots. And if you're around in the 60s or the 70s, you'll know how many Irish chambermaids there were around Douglas. Looking over the stone bridge in Ramsey, it's got frothy brown water. It looks disgusting. I've also seen this in the North Beach in Ramsey as well, below the Grand Island. My dog's ill if she goes in the sea on this beach, says John. Have you seen frothy brown water at the stone bridge in Ramsey? And a note in from Jeffrey said, Andy, the Manx health budget, what is it? Well, DHSC, I think, spent £314 million in 2023-24. Jeffrey said, surely if you divide that by the population of the Isle of Man, that could get you very good private health insurance. Let me figure this out. Hang on. £314 million divided by, what's the population? 85,000 or so? That equates to £3,500. If you divide 85,000 into 314, I think it's 3,500. How much private health insurance would that get you?
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Isle of Play helps children reclaim their childhood. We run play sessions, forest schools, and are the island's only adventure playground, helping children island-wide to have the best childhood possible. Do you want to help us raise funds and reach more children across the Isle of Man? Visit isleofplay.im or message Isle of Play on Facebook. Let's make childhood playful and play-filled for every child.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Are your clothes not fitting the way they used to? Cool Sculpting's patented non-invasive cooling technology is designed to target and kill fat cells with no surgery or downtime. Tracy Bell can assess your needs and advise if it's right for you. If you'd like to find out more about this revolutionary non-invasive fat reduction treatment from Cool Sculpting, call us today on 613323. Or visit tracybell.co.uk to book your free Cool Sculpting consultation.
Driscoll Promotions presents Rest at Peel Cathedral. On Saturday, the 13th of September, selling out the Centenary and Barrowlands last year. With support from Colin Davidson and Jim Wilson. Tickets online only at driscollpromo.com or Facebook event. Rest at St. German's Cathedral, Peel. A Driscoll promotion.
As we head towards Manx Grand Prix 2025, the Journey to a Dream podcast has been talking to some of this year's newcomers, finding out how they're preparing.
If I could get the lap time that I can get on the game around here, that'd be brilliant.
Where they work on their bikes.
I actually keep my bike in the kitchen. Like I said, my wife's very chill.
Why we don't need to worry if it'll rain.
2 years in a row, I've done the Northwest. 2 years in a row, we've all been sunburnt. Come to the Southern, I've burnt my nose, so I'm going to bring the weather. Yeah, I'm lucky for it, so I'll bring it.
And also hearing from the next generation of racers. Where do you like riding your bike?
Everywhere.
That's Journey to a Dream, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, available to download now on the Manx Radio Motorsport website or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thank you, Pete. On 489, is he? We have family living in Belfast. It's a difficult job to get back there, to get there and back during the summer months, and almost impossible in the winter months to get to Belfast. When the ferries don't go, to fly from here to Belfast requires a flight to England early morning, then a flight to Belfast, which is about 5 p.m. So you've got hours sitting around in an airport. I suppose we should be grateful they don't charge us while we're waiting for the flight. A note in from, let's have a look here. This is, lost your number. Renewables are regularly producing 40% of the UK's energy. So to call it a new, untested technology is ridiculous, says this correspondent, unsigned. Oh, Steve. The climate change deniers are happy to continue the massive risk of buying fossil fuels with massively unstable prices from questionable regimes rather than the chance of creating our own energy from renewables. I expect you'll ignore comments that don't suit your narrative. Well, Steve, I congratulate you on your mind-reading ability, knowing what I think. Eddie, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks, Eddie.
That's good. I've been in listening mode for a bit. Your last caller, that rings a bell, doesn't it? I think I mentioned the same thing not long back.
I think
no
you did.
No boats to Ireland for 3 months.
Yeah, you did, Eddie.
Yeah, and a few other comments recently are that the money line should be 2 hours, another one. Perhaps Max Radio's a little bit like our government. They're not listening to the people.
Oh, there we are. Well, you need to contact somebody way above me. You need to speak to our program director. Our director of content, he is. He's content.
I've told Alex over and over he doesn't listen. Never mind. Just a few things, if I may, Andy. To me, I can't understand, you know, why people are worried about a referendum. A referendum is more or less the same as what we're going to have shortly, which is an election, because all the MHKs will have new agendas, they'll have the new ideas to try and get the votes, and I would imagine that an awful lot of them will change the tune anyway on the net zero thing. So, you know, a referendum is much the same as an election.
Well, not so quite, because a referendum is a single issue. I mean, you'll get candidates who'll speak about various things like, you know, health and housing and this, that and the other. This would ask one particular question, and it depends how you frame the question, doesn't it? But it would be on one particular subject.
But I think this next election will be about one subject that the government, nobody has got a slightest faith in this government whatsoever. So if somebody comes up with something like, yeah, let's get out of net zero or do this, that, the other, it'll be an accumulation of one thing, get the government out. Another thing that's been bothering me lately, I've seen a lot of this on the news. Protesters with holding a sheet of paper up in England, and the new laws are saying that they could get 14 years in prison because the government have now said that is an illegal organisation. 14 years. How long do people get for murder? You know, it's reminding me of somebody who's bringing out a private members over here. Doesn't it? It's very similar. You're not going to be able to protest in any way about anything if Michelle Hayward's bill goes anywhere near the people listening here. So there's another point. How about some rumours for you? I'm in touch with some people, because I'm involved with the Eristain, as you know, some rumours from United Utility Workers in England. The recent storm, Floris was it, caused blackouts in Scotland. Well, the rumours are they're going round inside United Utilities are that Scotland didn't really run out of power because of the storm. They ran out of power because they'd got an agreement to sell what electricity they had to England and had to turn their own power off. Right, and the wind turbines had to be shut down anyway because of the storm. So therefore, they were lacking electricity, and it went to England. And that's why the people in Scotland right. suffered.
Mm.
Right? And again, right at the very beginning, I was hearing Bonzo's opinions on things. In my opinion, the biggest thing that wants to happen about you know, the problems at the Isle of Man, net zero, the wind turbines and this, is let's start educating people. Up until about 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't really delve into the ins and outs of all these things. I've taken the time to learn and find out for myself. So my motto to everybody, they've got another 12, 13 months, is it, before the election.
Yeah.
Try and find out for yourselves that these turbines are not green. They're not going to give us cheap electricity. Everything's exactly the opposite. And all the people have got to do is not listen to rumours, find out for themselves. They'll learn something at okay. the same time.
All right. Appreciate it, Eddie. Good to hear Cheers from out. You. Thanks for that. The answer phone's going to be on as soon as the programme finishes. 682-631 if you want to leave a message for broadcast. And the email address out of hours is maninline@maxradio.com. This weekend, Beach Buddies are going to be joined by the staff of the Isle of Man Ship Registry for the weekend's big cleaning team event. Sunday morning, 10:30 at Blue Point by the Len. Oh, it'll be gorgeous by the Len on Sunday morning. If you want to nip along, Beach Buddies are on Facebook. So that's the Len Blue Point on Sunday morning. That's it. Thanks to Ben on the phones today. Have a good day.
WINT.